Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight, for the message of that song, knowing that when you get saved, it's forever. And we're forever changed. And we still have to go through the rest of this life with this old sin nature, battling that all the way. But praise the Lord, it's gone with the body. And to be absent from this body, to be present with the Lord, and looking forward to that glorified body that we'll all receive at the same time at the rapture of the church. What a blessing it is to know future events. Amen. To know what God has revealed to us concerning the future. We've been in the book of Revelation now for some time. We started in the book of Genesis, and we went through and taught one message on each book of the Bible. Basically giving you an outline on every book of the Bible so that we'll know just why that book is there, what God is revealing to us through that book. And so we've been through the whole Bible doing that. Now we've been breaking down the book of Revelation. Once we gave the outline, then we've been studying in this book of Revelation. Now the outline is actually found in chapter 1 and verse 19, where the Bible says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." The things which are this present church age. And chapters 2 and 3 reveal the church age and what's going to take place. I believe it breaks down the dispensation of the church age with the seven churches broken down in seven dispensations. And I believe we're at the very end of the church age. I think if you look around, we're in a Laodicean church age. There's no doubt about that. If you have any insight at all into the Word of God, into what's going to take place right before the rapture of the church, you'll find that that's the Laodicean age, the Laodicean mentality of people. And then after that, we find the rapture, and then the things going to be after that. And so we've been studying that. In chapters 6 through 19, it reveals the seven-year tribulation period. Now, as we get into this, we're in chapter 11 tonight, Revelation chapter 11. We're going to finish up chapter 11. We're going to be reading verse 15 down to verse 19. But the Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. Everything we can understand about the past and everything that we have need to know about the past comes from God. And what God has revealed to us supersedes any history lesson you've ever been taught, okay? So if you've been taught a history lesson that is contrary to the Word of God, just throw that out the window and hold to the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. Let every man be a liar, amen? The Word of God is truth. And He's the one that has preserved it for us concerning what He has established, what He established concerning creation, the world, and everything about it. So everything we need to have understanding about, God's revealed it to us in the past, present, church age. That's what this time here is all about. For the last 2,000 years, we've been living in the church age. And that's outlined in chapters 2 and 3. What's going to take place, it's all right there. And then if you have a desire to know about the future, don't get on the phone and call the psychic hotline. That's not going to be that much of a help to you because they'll just tell you things that they want you to believe. But for man, it's a philosophy. It's what's going to happen to the earth and what's going to happen in the future. To the Bible, it's a fact. To all every Bible-believing believer, you know what's going to take place. We know that. Why? Because God's revealed it to us. He's revealed everything up to this point, and what He's revealed has come to pass. So we should understand if God has been accurate in what is coming to pass, what's already come to pass, I think we can put our faith in the accuracy of what He says is going to happen in the future. And it will. And so God has revealed to us everything that we need to know and can't understand about eternity past all the way through to eternity future. When you get into the book of Revelation, it's one of the most difficult books of the entire Bible to really understand. A lot of types and symbols in the book of Revelation. You have to have a good understanding of the prophecies of the Old Testament and everything that Christ taught Himself. So it's a very difficult book. That's usually the first book that people want to get into and start reading, and that's a mistake. If you get saved, the most important thing for you to do is learn about Christ. First four books of the New Testament are the easiest books of the Bible to understand, and God made it that way on purpose. Even a child can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and understand what is revealed, the life of Christ. And every believer, when you get saved, that's what you need to first of all understand. To be Christ-like, you have to know what Christ was like, and God's revealed it to us. God Himself lived in the flesh to give us an example of Christianity, the life of a Christian. And so that's the first four books. Just continue to focus on that until you have a good understanding of who Christ is and what He would expect us to be in being Christ-like. And then, you can read the rest of the New Testament, get a good understanding, go back to the Old Testament. The book of Revelation, I think, should be one of the last books that we really delve into to try to figure out, because it is one of the most difficult books. But God has a purpose for revealing everything that He has revealed. He has a purpose for it. I think the purpose for revealing what's going to take place in the tribulation period is to help everybody know, I don't want to be there. And once you've decided you don't want to be there, then you have to realize what's going to keep you from being there, because it could start tomorrow. The rapture takes place tonight. Tribulation begins right after the rapture. And then you want to make sure that none of your loved ones or friends are going to be there either. And they have to do what God says they have to do to avoid the tribulation, to be taken up with the rapture of the church, and that is to be saved. Get saved. And that's what this church age is all about, is reaching the world with the gospel of Christ, the great commission that He's given to us. Good men differ on some of the interpretations. You might hear me teach something here in the book of Revelation where you say, you know, I was taught a little different slant on that. I was taught a little bit something different. Good men differ on some of the interpretations, not on the doctrinal issues, but on some of the symbols, some of the types, some of the typologies, as far as just the chronological events of the book of Revelation. They differ on some of those things, and that's all right. I'm not going to argue any of those things. So don't come up with me and want to argue a point. No, you just go ahead and hold on to that. If that's how you interpret that, that's fine, as long as you're using the same Bible. Okay, God's written it down the way that He wanted it preserved. Amen? So make sure that you do that. And so good men differ on some of the interpretations. Realize that from the beginning. And also understand this. As we're going through this, this is a practical study of the book of Revelation. I'm not breaking down going into every nook and cranny. It's not an exhaustive study. I'm a practical preacher. I like to get a hold of what God's saying to us, present it, and what we can apply it. I believe the Bible is very applicable. We need to understand it that way. That's what helps us the most. Not only to have the head knowledge, but have the understanding of how to apply what the Bible says. That's the kind of preacher I am. I'm just a practical preacher, and I want to help people to understand how to make it applicable to your life. So that's what we're doing as we're going through the study in the book of Revelation. And so that's all leading up to where we're at tonight. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll read Revelation chapter 11. We've already studied where the rapture's taken place. We studied some of that, what took place at the rapture, what takes place in heaven with the believers, what's taken place on the earth is what we've been looking at, the seven-year tribulation on the earth. There were seven seal judgments, only one worthy to open the seal. That's Jesus Christ Himself, revealed in the book of Revelation. So He opens the seal judgments. The seventh seal judgment leads into the seven trumpet judgments. We've studied the first six, the parenthetical following the sixth judgment. And now tonight we're looking at the beginning of the seventh judgment, which is the third and final woe. What's going to take place on the earth during this seventh trumpet judgment. Chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and the wrath, and Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that Thou shouldest give reward unto Thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear Thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the ark of His testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you tonight, we thank you once again for the opportunity to be in church, to open up the precious word that you have preserved for us just as you would have it to be preserved. And Lord, then to anoint the preaching and the teaching of it so that we all might be able to not only hear, but have an understanding of what's going to take place, to be able to receive what you have given to us that would motivate us to accomplish the things that you'd have us to accomplish while we yet have time to do so. Pray that you just bless down the preaching and the study of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. In verse 14, the Bible says, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. This is the seventh trumpet judgment, which is the last of the three woes that will take place during the seven-year tribulation period. And the seventh trumpet judgment, which will include the seven last plagues. I believe this would be the end of the tribulation period, which some of the most horrific things will take place during that time. This is the third and final woe, the seven last plagues, which are included in this seventh last trumpet judgment. As the trumpet sounds, God reveals an overall view of the end. And these few verses right here, these five verses, 15 to 19, he reveals that the seventh trumpet, the last woe, is going to sound. Before he gets into all of the destruction and what's going to take place, the plague during the final end of this tribulation period, which will be the worst yet to come, he does something here and reveals it to us in the book of Revelation, which is a refreshing view for the believer. Now, a refreshing view or an encouragement, I believe that John, who has been the one that was on the island of Patmos that Jesus went to and started revealing all of these things, he's had to view all of this that has taken place up to this point. And he's had to write it down as he's viewing it. If you've been here in the study of what's taken place up to this point, the seven seal judgments and the six trumpet judgments leading up to the seventh and final trumpet judgments and what's going to take place there, when you read some of that, you think, wow, that's a little bit scary, frightening, somewhat even discouraging to realize what's going to take place. It's a lot to handle. You start reading the book of Revelation, you see what's going to happen. People are going to be dying and all the different things taking place on this earth. And it can be very depressing when you start thinking of nothing but judgment. But here we find, before we get into the final seven last plagues, or the vial or the bowl judgments, we're going to see that, the plagues that are connected to the seventh trumpet judgment, God gives John, I believe, a little break. As well as all of us that have been reading and studying this up to this point, I think he gives us a little bit of a break, and he gives us a refreshing view, an encouragement as to what will actually happen in the end. Four things to view. Now, I believe that because God knows how much we can handle. I don't know about you, there's been times in my life that I thought that, wow, Lord God, I know you tell me you won't put more on me than I'm able to bear, but we're getting really close here. Anybody else ever feel like that? Yeah. And yet you claim that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that God will make a way of escape. He will give you something that will help you to get through that because he won't put more on you than what you're able to bear. But it's through those trials and the tribulations and some of the things that we go through and even bearing the burdens that we must bear and bearing our own burdens, there's things that God wants to teach us during that time. If you look back in your life as a Christian, if you didn't stay very long, you realize that it's through those toughest times when I've kept the faith that I have grown more than any other time. because I've had more of a greater need for God. I find myself praying more often. I find myself crying out to God for His help, for His grace, for His strength. It's through some of those tough times that we grow the most. And so, as we go through those times, God has a purpose for those times. But when we get to that breaking point, God always sends you some refreshment. Right when you think, God, I know you won't, but it's getting close. And then you'll find that God will bring you some refreshment. A blessing. Reveal something to you that came out of some of those trials. When you see that, you think, it's all worth it. If I had to go through that to get to where I am now and to see what I see now, God, thank you for trials. Thank you for what you brought me through and where I am today because of that. We have the promise that God will not put more on you than what you're able to bear without giving you a way to escape, without giving you something that will help you to reveal to you that there was a purpose there. And I believe that's what's going on here. That's the only thing. As we look at this, and I've read several other commentaries and look into why would God give John this view into, an overall view into what is going to take place? And I believe that's the answer. Because right after this, then he goes right back into some of the horrific judgments that's going to take place on earth. The four things to view. Verse 15 to start with, and the seventh angel sounded. Now, it's sounding. And it's only going to take place. These things will take place, but the rest of this will take place at the end of the tribulation period. There were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord. There's a transfer of world government. Now, in the beginning of the tribulation period, and there's going to be chaos all through the world. We studied some of this. The church will be raptured up, and there's going to be a lot of different explanations as far as what's going on. All the news media around the world is going to come together to figure out if this comes kind of an alien invasion, what has taken place, what's going on. And they will come together, and there will be, and we're leading up to that now, there was going to be a one world government. There will be on this planet a one world currency. We're looking, everything is pointing to that even today. And there will be a one world religion. The Antichrist will be established at this point and will control, and they will have a world government. The one world Antichrist government will come to an end. And it will be turned over to Christ. That's what it's talking. The kingdoms of this world, the governments of this world, are become the kingdoms of our Lord. The one world government will be turned over. Now we know it's going to be turned over at the end of the tribulation period during the millennial reign of Christ. There's going to be a great battle of Armageddon. Now, we'll get into this in more detail, but I want to just review. This is what he's talking about. Revelation chapter 16 tells us what's going to take place at the end of the tribulation period, right before the millennial reign. There's going to be the battle of Armageddon, which we find here in detail in chapter 16. But let me just read to you just a few verses, verse 13 down to verse 16. John here writes, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophets. Now, there's different interpretations of those types of things and who that is and what that is. That's why I said good men can differ on some of those. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. That's the battle of Armageddon. As we get over to that place, it's in more detail. We'll study a little bit more about that. That's what it's referring to. He's referring that in this battle of Armageddon, afterwards, there's going to come the millennial reign. And what will happen when Christ comes in this battle of Armageddon, then he will establish his throne in Jerusalem. There will be The world government will be turned over to Christ, and he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. And we're going to see a little bit of that here in just a minute. After Armageddon, we'll look at chapter 11, verse 15, the second part of that, the second thing that he wanted them to see. First of all, the kingdoms will be turned over to Christ. And of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It begins with a millennial reign, but he will never give up his reign. After the millennial reign, it will be eternity will be ushered in, where Christ will always rule and reign. Righteousness will always rule and reign. Heaven is all about righteousness. Heaven is all about godliness. And he'll never give up his reign. Once he takes control of the earth, he'll never give up his reign. Now, I don't know about you, and if I was John and I seen that, I'm rejoicing now. Yeah, I've seen a lot of negative. I've seen a lot of seal judgments. And I've seen a lot of the first six trumpet judgments. I've seen a lot of horrific things. And now I see the end result. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 18 helps us to see a little bit more about what's going on there. He says, and the nations were angry, and the wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that they should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, reigning with Christ, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And so that's part of what's going to take place as well. The earth is ruled by Jesus and his bride, the saints, for 1,000-year millennial reign. I don't know how all this is going to happen. I don't know what all is going to take place. You see, 1 Corinthians, I want you to go back to Revelation here. It reveals it more in Revelation what's going to take place. We're going to see this as we get closer to the end, but I want you to see it. Revelation chapter 19 talks about the 1,000-year millennial reign. He's just giving us a taste of it at this point in chapter 11. Chapter 19 and verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Drop down to verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's coming back. He's going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. He's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. It's going to be a thousand-year millennial reign. Chapter 20, verses 4, down to verse 6. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgments was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and for which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon the foreheads or on the hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished, because the great white throne judgment is going to come up. Until they were finished, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You're still not convinced? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me just show you what the Bible teaches here. We're seeing a glimpse of what's going to take place during a millennial reign of Christ. And Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he says this in chapter 6. Verse 1 and 2. There any of you having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? When are the saints going to judge the world? You got it. The millennial reign of Christ. The saints are going to judge the world. Now, realize we have already been raptured up. And as we have been raptured up, we have been given a glorified body. And our glorified body, as we preached on just a few weeks ago, is going to be like the glorified body of Christ. We will be like him. We will not be him, but we will be like him. We will have the very same glorified body that he had once he resurrected from the grave. And he met with them and ate with them and fellowshiped with them. Now, I love that because that means that we can eat in heaven. No calories either. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. No blockage of the heart, nothing like it. It's a glorified body. It's an eternal body. We're going to have these glorified bodies, and we're going to return with Him, and we're going to rule. The earth is still with physical. Those that live on the earth during that millennial reign will still be in a physical body. And this will be a physical world. I don't know whether they will have the vision to be able to see the different dimension that we have now, just like today. Angels are all around us. Can I tell you that there are spiritual battles taking place in your life wherever you go? There is the demons of hell trying to encourage you and put thoughts in your mind and trying to tempt you with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And they're continually working to control you and to help lead you to make wrong decisions. That's a spiritual battle. You have the angels of God. And I believe that God has placed an angel over every one of us. But that we have the angels of God that are there to watch over us and protect us and help lead and guide. They're there. We can't see them. Jacob was given the vision to be able to see the heavenly when he saw in Jacob's ladder and he saw angels ascending and descending. He was given a vision to see what is there that he could not see. Whether or not the inhabitants of the earth will be able to see us, I don't know. I believe we'll be able to reveal ourselves as Christ was able to reveal himself to the physical. But we will rule and reign, and Christ will rule and reign from Jerusalem in a physical sense, and we will be there ruling and reigning with Him. How that's going to happen is more than this old limited mind can understand. But the thoughts of it are really great. To think that, and somehow I will be here helping Christ rule in righteousness. You hear different preachers talk about it. It could be that Indianapolis is going to be where I rule and reign. Amen? So God is, it might be that this church here, God's going to allow all of us to be here and to rule and reign in this section of the earth. I don't know how it's going to work. And I think it's all right to just let your mind go on some of those things, realizing that we will be here. The millennial reign will come to pass. Christ will rule in righteousness. And we're going to take part in that. That's what the Bible teaches. Don't understand all about how it's going to work. I just know that that's what the Bible reveals. That's the book of Revelation revealing that to us. There will be a millennial reign of Christ, and we'll assist our Lord in our glorified bodies. Wow. I love it. Go back with me, Revelations. That's the second thing he wanted him to see. The third thing they wanted him to see. Now, knowing that, can I tell you, John's starting to shout a little bit. He's starting to realize there's a purpose for all this that he's already seen. God has a purpose for the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments. He's seeing an overall view of what it's going to lead to. He sees this, verse 16 and 17. He sees something in heaven. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned." The elders in heaven respond to what has taken place on this earth with worship and vocal praise. This allows us to know that heaven knows what's taking place on earth. Heaven knows what's taking place on earth. Back over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. He tells us some things that's going to take place when during this time. He's encouraging the church to look unto Jesus and to follow Him. And there has been those in the past that have brought us to the point in time that we're at today. In chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." And he's talking about all the Old Testament saints, as well as everyone leading up to this particular writing. Everyone that had given their life for the cause of Christ. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Seeing this, knowing this, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Can I say that I think it's an encouragement to know that there is a heavenly grandstand? And heaven is looking down upon this earth, knowing what's taking place on this earth, and they are encouraging the work of Christ. Sue, can I tell you that John Parker is up there right now? Amen. My sister Barbara passed away last Sunday. We did her funeral Thursday as well. She's in heaven today. Amen. She's up there with the rest of my family that have passed on to glory. And I can I tell you, they're just added to that heavenly grandstand. And every one of them is encouraging the work of Christ on this earth. They're rejoicing and cheering for the work of Christ on this earth. John sees that. John sees that those in heaven are responding to what takes place on earth. Which ought to give you and I the very same rejoicing. When my dad passed away, God used that somewhat in my life to get me to surrender to God's call to my life. He never saw me, Pastor. Never heard a message that I preached on this earth. Can I tell you, I envision my father, my earthly father, viewing every time I get behind the pulpit and preach. He had part in that. I envision my mother looking down, rejoicing every time I get behind the pulpit and preach. I've got other brothers there now. I've got other sisters there now. I believe they're together, focused on the cause of Christ for what's taking place on this earth today. It helps me to do what it says to do. Lay aside every weight and sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Another passage of Scripture that helps us to understand that, Luke in chapter 15. Luke in chapter 15. Jesus preaching, teaching parables. These parables was to help us to understand spiritual truths. In Luke in chapter 15 and verse 8. He says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost likewise. He said, this very same scenario is taking place in heaven. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Joy in the presence of the angels. Who's in the presence of the angels? Everyone that has left this body, amen, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And there's joy. Because the work of Christ is continuing, and they are in those heavenly grandstands cheering on the work of Christ. That's an encouragement. That's a blessing. The last thing, and we're done. Verse 19. It goes along with that, I believe. And John says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. He's viewing heaven right now. He sees those rejoicing over what's taking place on earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony. The ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. John is given another glimpse of heaven where he sees the Ark of the Covenant. Now that's important. See, when Jesus came, all the disciples thought that he was going to bring Israel to world power at that time. They thought when the Messiah come that they would rule and reign the earth. Because that's the promise of the Ark of the Covenant. They didn't understand that there would have to be, first of all, a sacrificial lamb slain. That God wanted the whole world to be able to be saved. And there would be a time of the Gentiles. Mystery in the Old Testament. Church, mystery in the Old Testament. But there would be a time for the Gentiles, for the whole world, to be able to believe on and receive Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. It's where we've been for the last 2,000 years, for the church age. They didn't see that. Christ revealed that. But now he looks up and he sees the Ark of the Covenant. This confirms that God will fulfill his covenant with Israel during this millennial rule. The Messiah will rule the world from Jerusalem. The fulfillment of the Old Testament covenant. Amen. What a blessing for John and for all who have read up to this point, understanding what will take place after the 7-year tribulation. I thank God for that little break right there. Now, we're going to get into detail. We're going to study all of that and more in depth as it reveals it. But before he goes any farther, before he reveals this final woe and the last of the judgments, I believe the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, he says, this is where we're headed. For you and I to make it through this life in some of the most darkest hours, some of the toughest storms, we have to be able to look beyond this life and see where we're headed. And when you can have confidence in what we have to look forward to, this life, piece of cake, we can handle it. As long as we stay focused on the eternal things, the temporal things are not as important as eternal things. Praise God for this passage of Scripture. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Book of Revelation, God is revealing a lot of things to us concerning what will take place during this 7-year tribulation period. And some horrific things will take place on this earth. This earth is going to be judged. But it's all leading to something that is a tremendous blessing. This world ruled and reigned in righteousness. No corrupt politicians, no corrupt governments in the world. The whole world will be ruled and reigned in righteousness. Just thinking about that ought to cause us to rejoice. And then after that, heaven, eternity. Praise the Lord for what God has revealed to us concerning the future events. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, that you would just continue to reveal what you have for us to understand as we continue to go through this book of Revelation. But, Lord, this little bit of a break, and thank you for it. Pray that we would all be encouraged as we view these things. Now, bless now in this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.